Welcome friends, and today we'll be studying Introduction to Retailing Stores. I'm Professor Pranav Bhatia and I'll be taking you through Introduction to Retailing Stores. So basically when we say retailing, what do you mean by retailing? The definition of retailing is a process of selling consumer goods or services to customers through multiple distribution channels to earn a profit. So as you are aware that any business which is started or run, the main purpose is to earn a profit, without which the business will not survive. If there are no profits, there is no point of doing a business. Now we will see how the origin derived, the retail origin, retail industry started. The origin, it's derived from the French word tailor, meaning to cut off, clip, pair, divide, reminiscent of tailoring. Moving ahead, we will see how it plays a big role in distribution channel. Retailer act as intermediaries between producers, wholesalers, consumer, offering product assortments for personal, non-business use. So as you are aware that there are wholesalers, there are retailers, and there are producers also. So what happens, the retailer comes in the end part and they've do the last part of selling it directly to the consumer. So you can say it's a D2C, direct to consumer as well, but there are different parties which cater to the consumer's requirement. Now we'll see how the evolution of retail happened. Ancient marketplaces, early retailing began with bartering and trading in civilizations like Mesopotamia, Egypt and Greece. Industrial Revolution, the 18th and 19th century saw the emergence of department stores and mail order catalogs due to mass production. So there was a time when there was a lot of mass production and there were mail order catalogs. The catalog were sent to the customers. The customer used to see the product code in the catalogs and then they used to order. So that was during the Industrial Revolution time, during the ancient marketplaces. So there were different options available those times. Continuing in the evolution of retail, when the 20th century, there were innovations. Introduction of self-service supermarkets, chain stores, and shopping malls fueled by advancement in transportation and technology. So there was self-service market where the customers can go. There was a trolley or baskets available. They were picking the product, putting it in the baskets, and they used to shop in that way. Moving ahead, there was an advent of digital age. With the rise of e-commerce and digital technology reshaped retail, challenging traditional brick and mortar stores. So with the advent of technology, there was e-commerce where there were players like Amazon, there are international players like Alibaba, there's Flipkart, there is other different channels which are giving challenge to the traditional brick and mortar stores. We will see the type of retail. So there are different type of retail options. There is an organized retail, there is unorganized retail. There are different roles the retailers play. Moving ahead, we will first see what is organized retail is. The licensed stores owned by corporate entities constituting a significant portion of retail in some countries is organized retail. For unorganized retail is fragmented traditional formats like kirana stores and street vendor prevalent in many regions. Now coming to the organized retail, the examples could be Shoppers Stop, Lifestyle, Future Group, it was earlier Future Group, Reliance Stores, Zudio, owned by Tata Group. So definitely this all comes under the organized retail. The examples for unorganized retail would be normal mom and pop stores, it could be a Janta store or it could be any Inky stores or a local kirana stores, street vendors who doesn't have a license. That will come under unorganized retail. What is the retailer's role? So retailer's role is to act as a both purchasing and sales agent focusing on customer acquisition and loyalty. So a retailer, what they do is they purchase from the wholesaler. They check what is the requirement of customer is. They buy from the wholesaler and they fulfill the customer's need. So here they are doing purchasing as well as they are working as a sales agent as well. So what they do is they focus on customer's need, they acquire the customer, they fulfill the customer's need, and they gain the customer's loyalty. So they provide what a customer's need. Importance of retail in the economy. So employment generation. Retail industry, whether it's organized or unorganized, it plays a very important, significant role in the generation of employment. It helps in the growth of the GDP as well. Retail is a major employer globally, providing diverse opportunities. So there is opportunities of employment in front end. So when a customer is at, when a customer enters a store, there is a job opportunity in the front end. The sales staff comes into the front end part. The back end part is where the buyers, and there are merchandisers who purchase the garments and who put it in the store. So there is an opportunity in the back end as well. So there is a front end and there is a back end, and that's how there is employment is generated. Moving ahead, we will see how retail contribution to GDP contribution. So consumer spending through retail sales drive economic output in most of the countries. This is how retail works. This is how the retail contribute into GDP contribution of a nation and helps into nation building. Importance of retail in the economy, continuing it, there is a market efficiency. So retailers facilitate efficient distribution and price discovery for fostering competition. So if there are more number of retailers, there is a competition in the market. The consumer gets a very good product at a reasonable price. And the efficient distribution system creates an ecosystem where there is good option available for customers at the best rate. And moving ahead, definitely retail offers entrepreneurship. So retail offers opportunity for a small businesses startup to innovate and succeed. So in nowadays, because of advent of technology, there are a lot of startups which has come and which is boosting the entrepreneurship of the individuals and the young generation. The Gen Z, basically, they can get into entrepreneurship, they can start their own retail business, and there are vast opportunities available where they can innovate, they can succeed, and they can move ahead in their life. Moving ahead, we'll see retail in India and abroad. So India's retail landscape rapidly evolving with emergence of modern formats and global investments. Global retail giants are retailers like Walmart, Carrefour, IKEA, expanding into emerging markets like India. There are different retailers who are now wanting to enter Indian market as well. So if you see global retail giants, we have Walmart and Carrefour, IKEA. They want to expand in the emerging markets in India. Carrefour is a French company. It's a French from the France. It's Carrefour is from France. IKEA is already in India, present in India, and they have started their operations. Then doing very well in this Indian scenario, in the Indian market. Competitive landscape, intense competition among local and international retailers driving innovation and customer-centric strategies. So we have a lot of competition coming in. There is intense competition among local and international retailers. And whoever is doing innovation will succeed. Definitely, they have to have a customer-centric strategies. They need to ensure that the right product is available at the right price, at the for the right person. So that's a marketing concept which I'm talking about. And they need to innovate constantly to be in this competitive market, else they will be thrown out. Moving ahead, if we will see what are the government initiatives. So government also supports with the policy. They have come with supportive policies. They have done reforms with regards to the FDI liberalization, boosting the investment as well as growth in retail sector. So government also understand that if they need a lot of investments, they need a competitive market, they need to open up. And hence they have given a lot of, they have allowed FDI, which has opened the doors for the international brands to come up in India, set up their stores and start selling it to the consumers. Adding to the global retail landscape, it's very dynamic in nature, shaped by consumer preferences, technology and market trends. And expansion strategies, mergers and acquisition, franchising, joint ventures utilized by global retailers. So what has happened is once the FDI was allowed in India, there was a lot of international retailers who came into India, and when they saw that it's very difficult to set up stores, take licenses, so they opted for mergers and acquisitions. They started giving franchising options and joint ventures. So that was the route taken by the global retailers to step up their operations and start selling it to the consumers from day one. So that's what was the strategy used by the global retailers to set their footprint in India and ensure that the brand, like just give an example, earlier there was to be a product which was launched in Dubai, and then later maybe after 2 months or 3 months it was launched in India. But now with expansion and with advent of technology, the same product is launched in Dubai as well as launched in India in the same day. So that's what the technology has done. That's what the FDI and globalization has done. A lot of products are available on the same day, which is launched in US or maybe it's launched in Japan and it's launched simultaneously in India, ensuring that the Indian customers also get the taste of the same product what a foreigner gets in a different country. Market saturation challenges. So we will be seeing what challenges the market is facing. Saturated markets in developed countries leading retailers to explore emerging markets for growth opportunities. So once the consumer, there is a customer who has a need, that need is fulfilled, he moves to the next need. You know, so if he's moved from the basic product to a luxury product, his need is fulfilled, he gets saturated. Similarly, the market got saturated abroad, and the retailers started looking for more lucrative markets where they can reap profits, where they can sell their products. The same thing happened with the retail industry. In every industry, there is a peak. They start, there's a peak, there is a saturation which comes in, and then they need to innovate. So they become stable. Once the saturation comes, they become stable. Similarly, this also happened in the industry, retail industry as well, where the industry started, it reached to a peak, then it got saturated. So once the saturation comes in, the retailer needs to explore emerging markets where they can start marketing, selling their products to the new consumer who has not used their products or who has yet to fulfill that product desire. So they need to check for the emerging markets and tap those markets where they can reap profits. Moving ahead to the cultural adaptation. So the retailer needs to tailor-made a product. They need to do marketing strategy aligned to the local taste and preferences in diverse market. So whenever any retailer comes into India or they enter any market, they need to study that market. They need to ensure that whatever they are offering is customized. It's bespoke. It is made as per the local taste and preferences so that the product sells well. It does well and it doesn't get flop or it's not rejected by the customer. So they need to have different offerings, different market. If they are entering different global market, they need to ensure that the product is customized and is as per the preferences of the local. So we will be seeing case studies of renowned global retailers. So first we will see that Walmart. So they expanded in Mexico through acquisition of Walmax, offering low prices and localized product. That is the first case study we will be seeing. So they took acquisition route, they entered the Mexico market, they acquired Walmax and offering low prices and localized products. So that was the first case study. They partnered with JD.com in China to tap into online retail market, leveraging logistics for efficient delivery. So as I said that the retailers, global retailers, they didn't have much time because they had to catch up with a lot of competition. So as I said earlier, there were different routes like franchising, mergers and acquisition. So here, if you see the Walmart, they did acquisition of Walmart. Secondly, they partnered. So second route was by partnering with JD.com. So to take advantage of their logistics, which was doing efficient delivery, and that helped them to enter the market easily and smoothly. Moving ahead, we will see the second case study, which is of Carrefour. So that's the second study. They entered China via joint venture, adapting product assortment to local preferences. So Carrefour also entered China and they selected the joint venture route. They also expanded in Brazil through hypermarket operations catering to diverse shopper needs. So if you see, they entered two different markets. One was China, which is in extreme Asia. Other one was in Brazil, where they enter through hypermarket operations. And thus, they were catering to both the market, diverse shoppers. They were catering to different needs by using a different route. So this is how they are expanding their footprint. That's Carrefour for you. Moving ahead with the third case study, we will be seeing about how IKEA, they entered India and how they started selling their products. So IKEA, when they entered India, they had a phased approach. So they had done extensive planning. They ensured that they enter the market phase by phase, focusing on the brand awareness and on local preferences. So that was the first strategy which they used. They offered tailored product and sustainable practices, gaining positive reception. So it was a very concrete, it was a planned strategy where they will offer tailored products. And the initial ads which came, they were coming with sustainable practice, which was offering eco-friendly products, which gave a positive response to them. So when they started coming, they started their ads, they first showcased the products which were eco-friendly, and they offered products which were eco-friendly, and they won the hearts of the consumer, and that's how they got a positive response. They expanded through innovation, store and online presence in emerging markets. So they entered Indian market with both the options, whether it was online and offline. So they entered with both the options, where the customer had an option of buying from the offline stores, or they can order from online stores. And that's how they show their presence in emerging markets. The impact of global retail trends. So we would have seen digitalization. So e-commerce and digital technology revolutionizing retail. So what we have seen is, once the Amazon was, it's an US company, they came in India, there was a rapid expansion. And with because of a lot of mobile penetration, the digitization took a leap. And e-commerce and digital technologies did revolutionize retail. They were also a lot left untapped. So that has definitely helped retail as well. Because of the data, the mobile penetration, the customer can buy shop products on the mobile phone. There are a lot of apps available. And definitely this digitalization has helped the retail industry as well. But moving to the sustainability initiatives, so growing consumer demand for sustainable products, driving retail practices. Since there's a lot of awareness in the world, and also from the government, where everyone is focusing on eco-friendly products, sustainable products, which can be reused. So that has also fueled demand for the products, such products, which is driving the retail practices. So where we have seen a lot of initiatives that the government is saying no to plastic bags, and the retailers are using the paper bags or reusable bags, which is definitely good for environment. And customer and the government also, even the health, when the eco-friendly companies are using products which are giving less damage to the environment. Moving to the supply chain innovations, adoption of technology to optimize efficiency and enhance customer experience. So there has been a lot of innovations in supply chain as well. Adoption of technology to optimize its efficiency, definitely, and increase the customer experience. So there are a lot of innovations happening. They are planning how delivery can be done within 10 minutes. So if you see, there is a disruption by Blinkit. They are delivering in within 10 minutes or in 10 minutes of time, if you place an order and the product is delivered. So that was one of the innovations. It's a disruption which the Blinkit has done it. And definitely they are using a lot of technologies to optimize the efficiency and enhance customer experience. We will see the impact of global retail trends. So there are different omni-channel integration which has been done. So seamless integration of online and offline channels to provide a unified shopping experience for customers. So there are certain retailers where you can select a product online, and if you wish, you can go and pick up from this store. So that was one of the examples. So what has happened is, there is an integration which has happened between online and offline, where there is a seamless integration. It provides a smooth experience to the consumer. So that was one product. Similarly, even in different retailers have adopted that you can select online, and that product is kept aside at the store, and the consumer can go pick it up, do pick and feel the product, check. If it's an apparel, they can do the trial, they can pay the bill, and they can move ahead. So that was the omni-channel integration which I was talking about. A lot of retail has done a lot of innovations with that. So all these things are giving unique shopping experience to the consumer. Moving to the personalization and data analytics. So what has happened with advent of artificial intelligence as well? There is a lot of data available and a lot of analysis being done. How are shoppers, how are customers shopping? What are his buying patterns? So that is also come into picture. So with when a customer buys, there is a 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years data available, which can do the which can give a report that what are his buying needs, when do a customer buy, what are his spending patterns, how is he making payment, whether he's making a card payment or whether he's making a UPI payment. So according to that, personalization can be done. And if you see the utilization of data to personalize marketing efforts and tailor-made recommendation based on consumer behavior and preferences. So what is happening is, depending upon the consumer spending or consumer buying patterns, the product can be customized to a personalized level and a unique experience can be provided. So all this data is helped into making a tailor-made product for that specific customer, ensuring that the customer buys that product and a product can be sold to that customer. It can be tailor-made, ensuring that they sell the product and they capture good market share. So moving ahead, we will see retail store classifications. So there are definitely different types of classifications, which are the store are categorized based on the space, location, product and merchandise sold. That is the first classification. There could be then there is a second type of classification, which could be a space classification. There are stores which are huge in size, so there could be hypermarket, supermarket, mini supermarkets and convenience stores based on square footage. So if you see normal mom and pop store could be a 200 square feet store, but when you see hypermarket or supermarket, it could be anywhere between 1 lakh square feet and above. So that could be the definition of hypermarket, supermarket could fit into 1 lakh square feet and above, or maybe lesser than that. But again, yes, there is a space classification. There could be mini supermarket as well. And there are convenience stores which are based on the square footage. So that with regards to that, we'll see that's the space classification. Again, there is a location classification which comes into picture. So there could be specific traditional, contemporary, modern and e-commerce stores based on the marketplace evaluation. So there is normally a catchment analysis which is done. Whenever any corporate decides to put up a store, so they do a catchment analysis. They check the population of the area, how much is the population, how much is the, what is the bifurcation between male and female, what are the number of kids, what are the number of old people staying over there, is there a hospital or school close by, what is the salary income of those particular area, the salary bracket of those income bracket of those particular area. So that's how the classification does. There is a catchment area analysis which is done. How would the store would be performing? What would be the break-even analysis? How long they will need to break even? So all those things comes into picture. They ensure that the catchment analysis is done. And once they decide that, yes, definitely we can put up a store over there, they decide what type of product needs to be there, whether it would be high price product or a low price product. All those things comes under consideration. And once there's a feasibility report is prepared, and once the stakeholder decide, yes, we'll go ahead. Based on those catchment studies, again, the product mix is decided, whether it is a food retail or health or beauty products, what would be the mix between the leisure goods or personal goods. So that is, again, the classification is done. So the product merchandise is also customized depending upon the area. If it's not a very posh area or where there is a middle class are staying, then they will ensure that they keep a mix of food retail with health, with beauty products, and they ensure that the price point are reasonable so that they don't suffer loss. So if you see, there are this, what we have seen is there are classification bases on location, there are classification bases on the size of the hypermarket or a supermarket, there is a location classification, and there is definitely a product merchandise classification. That's how retail store classification comes into picture. Moving ahead, we will see more on basis of space, store classification basis on space. So if you see hypermarkets, it's a typically greater than 30,000 square feet. This large stores are offer wide range, including groceries, electronics, apparel and household items. Examples, Walmart, supercenters and Carrefour hypermarkets. So as I said earlier, that there are bases of store classification on basis of space. And if any particular hypermarket is, the typical hypermarket is greater than 30,000 square feet, there are large scale offers, stores, they product wide range of product, apparels, non-apparels, including groceries, they offer electronics, they offer household items, and the typical example would be Carrefour, or the typical example would be Walmart or a Carrefour hypermarket. Large supermarkets, that could come under 15,000 to 30,000 square feet, that's the bifurcation. So they are similar to, the supermarkets are similar to hypermarkets, but slightly smaller footprint. So if you see hypermarkets are 30,000, but a supermarket would be anywhere between 15 to 30,000, a smaller version. And they focus more on groceries, maybe a day-to-day need products. And the best example of a large supermarket could be a Tesco Extra or a Kroger. So that's the example. That's the example of a large hypermarket. That was the store classification on basis of space. Moving, we will see mini supermarkets. So these are typically 5,000 to 12,000 square feet. It's a compact version of supermarket, and mini supermarkets cater to smaller communities or urban areas offering essential groceries and household items. So the best example of a mini supermarket is Aldi and Trader Joe's. That's the best example I can share with you. So as I said, mini supermarkets are between 5,000 to 12,000 and they definitely cater to urban areas or a small community where they typically buy household items. The luxury items are, depending upon the location, they might be included or might not be included. And that's the example, Aldi is the example of mini supermarkets. Moving ahead, we will see what a convenience store is. Now, the convenience store is between 1,000 or 3,000 square feet. It is a smaller version, easily accessible store. So you can say it's always available in a neighborhood. They provide convenience for quick purchases. So they only keep those products which are convenient, for where they can pick up from the shelf, the billing can be done, and definitely it's for convenience. And they stock everyday items like snacks, beverages, toiletries. The best example could be 7-Eleven and Circle K. So if somebody is looking for a pack of biscuits or a pack of chips, they don't want to spend more time shopping. What they just want to pick up a soft drink or a maybe packet of chips, they can quickly go to a convenience store, pick up chips and Coke or cold drink or a soft drink, pick up, do the billing and move out. So the best example of a convenience store is 7-Eleven. Where it's available across Thailand and Bangkok. 7-Eleven is available in India as well now. So that are the example of a convenience store. Moving ahead, we will see the store classification on basis of location. So there are definitely two different types. One is the traditional markets. The second one is the indigenous stores. Coming to the traditional markets, so there are weekly markets, bazaars, mela, where traders set up stalls and buyers browse for goods. So the traditional market, which will come under the unorganized sector, and different locations would have different markets. So probably in Mumbai, there are markets which are on Thursday, which come on Thursday. In some areas, it comes on Monday. In some areas, it comes on Wednesday. So there are weekly markets where this unorganized retailers, they come, they sit on store, they sit on the road and they start selling the product. Definitely there is a Wednesday bazaar or there is a Thursday bazaar. Then there are melas. So there is a place available, there's a big ground, there's a mela happening. And there are retailers which come and which sell their products. So these traders come, they set up their products, they set up their stalls. And the buyers, they move around, they browse and then they do the buying. They buy their products, what they need. So that is with regards to the traditional market. Moving to an indigenous stores, so there are mom and pop stores, there are kirana stores, these are the option available who offer personalized service and convenience. So there's just the best example of a kirana store could be a Janta store who's keeping all the FMCG products. depending upon the area, what is the price point they want. And these mom and pop stores have been catering to the family and generations of the family. They give credit as well. So these are the stores which are quickly available, where you don't have time to go to a convenience store or a supermarket. Definitely in today's world, the customer can give a call. The delivery is also provided by mom and pop stores. They are also giving credit nowadays. With advent of technology, they have started keeping the POS machine as well. So the card facility and the UPI payment facility is also available. That's how mom and pop store operates, the Kirana store operates. And the best example is they offer personalized service depending upon their requirement, or they know that if the they know the customer very well, that every month he shops for that particular product. So he keeps that specific product and ensures that there is a convenience to that specific customer. So that was the store classification basis on of location, where the customer needs are fulfilled on basis of the location. That's the criteria for the store classification. Again, moving to store classification, another 2 points would be, one is the contemporary stores, and then there is a modern retail stores, which also comes under the locations criteria. So there are public distribution stores, there are ration shops, that is also comes under the location basis. Then there are khadi stores specifically selling khadi related products. Then there are cooperative stores who focus on the community needs and the social initiatives. So as I said, there is a lot of environment related awareness, and then there are cooperative stores which are selling products which are eco-friendly. This is a social initiative taken by the government. So there are the specific store who sells eco-friendly products, which is sustainable, which can be reused, causing less damage to the environment. So that comes under the contemporary stores. Moving to the modern retail stores, so we have seen shopping malls, we have seen mom and pop stores, then there was supermarket, mini supermarket, mark supermarket, then there were hypermarkets. So with the advent of retail expanding, we saw a surge in shopping malls, hypermarkets, supermarkets. There was a surge in convenience stores as well. And there are definitely defined retail spaces which came up when the retail industry was booming. So this boom definitely came around somewhere in 2004-2005. And with that boom, there were a lot of shopping malls, hypermarket, a lot of options were given to the consumers who were offering wide range of products with different formats.